How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, August 29th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi there.
Glad to have you with me. Also today, I have Brian Chavin. Hi, Brian.
Oh, that's me.
And pleased to have you with me as well. Our first topic today is Apple is expanding. Well, Apple is softening a tiny bit its only let Apple repair Apple stuff stance. Right, Charlotte?
Shut the front door.
I said softening slightly.
Brian, I hope you're sitting down when I explain this. You okay?
Yeah, I'm braced.
Let me sit down again. Okay.
So, obviously, at the moment, you have the Apple Authorized Service Provider Network. Those are the places that are not official Apple stores, but the Apple has given its sign to say, this is okay, you can get your Apple stuff fixed there. Mm-hmm. So we know that. It's quite a big thing. They've expanded it to all the US Best Buys. Cool. Today, but we know there are also other places where people are very capable of fixing, for example, an iPhone. And in fact, so Apple announced that it will offer a new program. There's a new program called called the Independent Repair Provider Program. And that will be some places who have an Apple authorized engineer there will have the right also to fix out of warranty devices.
Okay.
And they'll be given support from Apple, so training, that kind of thing, tools, the genuine parts, and so on. So they'll be given many of the basically the same functions as those authorized service providers.
Okay.
So, like you said, my understanding is this will apply only to iPhones.
Okay. That makes sense.
Right. But apparently they tried it, piloted it with 20 firms in North America, Europe, and Asia, and it worked. So it's a way of getting genuine parts to more people and having it being fixed. It's a way of Apple kind of keeping control of the repair space and that whole kind of sub-industry. Mm-hmm. But also it's arguably giving customers a little bit more freedom and choice.
Mm-hmm. Because now you have a choice not to go spend an entire afternoon at the mall to get to have your phone screen replaced, which is, you know, maybe a 20-30 minute thing, but could spend all day waiting at the Apple store to get that done. Right, Brian?
Well, I mean, people have been able to go to other places
unofficially.
They would void the warranty and they were not getting official Apple parts. Mm-hmm. And this is a remarkable, in my opinion, switch up for Apple. I mean, it's a big shift, and I'm wondering, is it defensive in nature? Like, for instance, is Apple trying to use this to continue to fight the right to repair movement? Because, you know, notice that it's older iPhones only. Mm-hmm. Right? I can't take my iPhone XS to some other place, right?
Right.
That's correct. It's for out of warranty iPhones only.
Yeah, so and is this also simply maybe Apple just like not wanting to really deal with the very large number of older devices, many of which obviously are accelerating their need for repair? Right, there's more and more older devices that are needed to repair because Apple started selling a crap ton of iPhones, especially with the iPhone 6, maybe the 5 and 5S.
Yeah.
So, you know, is this like Apple not really wanting to deal with those? It's just, the company is still fighting right to repair laws. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're throwing in the towel. And as Charlotte said, this this definitely lets Apple sort of keep control over this process. But it's an interesting move. And I'm not really sure what to make of it, other than it being good.
Well, my assessment of this is that it's basically a numbers game, particularly after Apple was doing the $29 iPhone 6 battery repair stuff last year. And, I mean, I remember seeing loads and loads of people. Like, there was an uptick of people in Apple stores when I went to them. Of people waiting for batteries, because I could hear people checking in. There was like a steady stream of, you know, a non-zero number of people. Like, I have an appointment to get my battery replaced. So I wonder if this is just a numbers game to keep from sucking all the Genius Bar appointments out and sucking all the walk-up appointments out from people who come in and go, well, yeah, it's my 5S. Well, we can't do anything with your 5S. It's not a warranty. But what about, and what about, you know, because that's going to end up being a 15-minute transaction, even if the tech never touches your phone. You know, because you have to get all the information and find out what's going on and then explain to the person that there's nothing I can do for you. And if you really need something done, like, I don't really know what to tell you because I don't know how much Apple can say about there being other people that will fix this for you. So maybe it's more giving people with older phones an opportunity to never have to go to the Apple store so that Apple can be concerned with the stuff that is under warranty, that does need repair and all of that, as opposed to sending people away angry. Because certainly if I walked in with a 6S that was out of warranty and Apple says there's nothing we can do for you, oh wait, that totally happened to me once, then there's, you know, like, to me, that's not going to be a good retail experience. You know, and maybe that's part of where Apple's unfortunate retail experience reputation is coming from. And maybe that's the other thing they're trying to fix with this.
I think that's a really good point. We've spoken on this show a few times how in the last years, the process and the experience of going to the Apple store has become increasingly less pleasant than it once was. Now, part of that is just, as you say, a sheer numbers game. There are a lot more people with a lot more Apple products who need a lot more support. Fine. So this is a really good way of Apple making some moves to deal with that, I think. Just in the way you've outlined, just having less people, if they can communicate this out properly, that, you know, if you have an out of warranty device, there are other people apart from the local Apple store you can go to get it fixed. I think that could be a really good thing, because it has become quite an unpleasant experience trying to get in, and it makes it probably annoying for the people that work in the store and everything. Right. So yeah, I think that is a really good point.
And if they're Apple authorized, then it means Apple does have an outlet to tell people, like, there is an option, you can find an authorized service provider who can do this for you, even though it's out of warranty. Remember, you know, it's out of warranty, and there's a lot of stuff that goes into making that decision now that it's not under warranty anymore. But if you do that, then, like, you have this other option that's not an Apple store, and letting Apple tell people that seems like a good idea. Like, this sounds to me like a way to make retail, to make the going to a retail store better. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, it could be. It definitely could be. It definitely could be. You know, really, the whole thing is just it's such a weird concept, because Apple has always fought this so vociferously that. I mean, you know, I think we're all a little nonplussed and discombobulated by the whole thing. So, I mean, I honestly, I don't know. It could be all of the, it absolutely could be everything y'all just said. It could be this defensive thing against the right to repair movement. It could be Apple trying to get ahead of the right to repair movement. Like, Apple knows that legislation, or feels very strongly that legislation is coming, so they figure they'd start with the older stuff and get that all ready. Right.
Certainly.
I don't know. It just could be a lot of things, and of course we don't know.
We don't. To me, part of why this doesn't seem necessarily newsworthy is because this is the same method that's been in existence for many, many years with Apple, which is Apple authorized service providers. Apple authorized resellers used to be a thing. I mean, there's still a few of those, not as many smaller ones like there used to be before there were actually Apple stores that you could go to. But this just sounds like there's a specific iPhone flavor of something that Apple's done forever. The thing that was notable to me in this is that Apple put out this press release about this, and the person from Apple quoted in the press release is Jeff Williams, who is chief operating officer. And the reason that's interesting to me is because after Angela Ahrendts left, all of the retail stuff was folded under the head of people, whose name is escaping me at the moment. I can't remember.
Deirdre O'Brien.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Charlotte. And this seems like something that would be a little closer tied to the retail stuff, so I thought it was interesting that it was Jeff Williams that they put in the press release instead of Deirdre O'Brien.
Yeah, I noticed that, actually. I would have thought this might be another way to get Deirdre O'Brien out there, but yeah, they've gone with Jeff Williams. I did notice that as well.
Yeah. So, in the meantime, if you have an older phone...
I think we were both about to say the same thing. I think for a lot of people with older phones who, you know, maybe bought it and did it on a SIM-only plan, who, you know, I also think it helps Apple to know that there's more genuine parts going into more of their products. I think that probably suits Apple and makes life a bit easier for them.
Certainly.
And also it obviously does help, I think, consumers who go, oh, I've got an iPhone, I don't know, 7, and I'm a bit fed up, or even 8, you know, starting to, the warranty's about to end or has ended, and I don't really want to buy a new iPhone yet. Maybe I will in 6 months. Can I spend, instead of spending $500-$600 now, can I spend between $50 and $100, get it fixed, get 6 more months out of it, and then look at what deals are available? Yeah.
Honestly, the first thing this made me think of for like an actual use case is I am the tech person in my family, and the previous my current model of phone becomes someone else in my family's phone when I get the new one. And now that person's screen is cracked. It's a 3-4 year old phone. And I know, you know, that they're not up for a new one anytime soon. I know there's a lot of life left in it, and I just need the screen fixed, or I just need the battery fixed. That actually happened to a friend of mine not too long ago. So Apple having the opportunity to make sure that that stuff's legit and that people are trained, because, you know, if somebody gets a shoddy repair on their iPhone and it doesn't work, like, they're going to go to Apple and be like, my phone still doesn't work. I got it fixed and it still doesn't work. So maybe that helps them with that as well. So, but mostly what I think of is like my kid's iPhone screen is cracked and there's no way that kid's getting a new one anytime soon. So it'd be good if it was legitimately repaired. So that's the thing I think of with that. I think it's an interesting move. And like you, Brian, I'm not entirely sure what's motivating it, but I'm glad it's happening, because I think there's a lot of iPhones out there. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's an environmental move. That just occurred to me. You know, we're keeping all these devices in the world longer so that they don't end up in landfills just because somebody cracked a screen, things like that. Who knows? We'll probably find out soon. In the meantime, Brian.
In regards to, like, maybe we don't know why, but we definitely like it. So say we all.
Absolutely. It is known. In the meantime, I would like to talk to you about our sponsor today. Our sponsor today is OmniFocus. OmniFocus is a project/to-do manager. It helps you track everything that you're up to. And as the tagline says, it helps you accomplish more every day. OmniFocus is available on iOS. It's a universal app, which includes a watch complication. You can manage all your tasks right on your arm, including adding new ones and checking them off. There's a macOS app, and there's even OmniFocus for web. So if you have an environment where you're stuck on a PC for a certain portion of that time, you can still track everything, because all you have to do is pull up a web page. If you are a GTD person, a getting things done person, or if you aspire to GTD, OmniFocus makes a perfect trusted system, because, again, you can manage all your tasks from anywhere and you can make sure and get that information into it wherever you are. This includes customization for reminders. So you can have reminders pop up when you get to a location or at a certain time. You can have custom views to see what your upcoming tasks are to make sure those things get managed well. If you upgrade to the Pro version, you can get even more of those views. You get AppleScript functionality and lots more. And you can get a free 2-week trial of OmniFocus at omnifocus.com. We would like to thank OmniFocus for sponsoring the show today. Our second topic is just before we started recording this morning, Apple invitations, media event invitations went out from Apple. And this one is called, I just saw it and now I don't have it in front of me anymore. Let me look really quick. I'm waiting for the page to load. By innovation only, it says on the event. Please join us for an Apple special event at the Steve Jobs Theater in Cupertino, September 10th, 2019 at 10 a.m. And the logo, the image on it, so far the one that we've seen, I don't know if they sent out custom ones like they did last time around, is a colorful version of the Apple logo. So I am excited about that because I'm partial to the colorful logo. I didn't like when they took all the color out of it. And so I'm glad to see it in some new shades. It is 5 colors, not 6, for people keeping track, playing along at home. It's an interesting image. I sort of thought it was kind of a cool looking interpretation of a colorful logo. One thing that Andrew mentioned before we were in the meeting this morning was that there are rumors of the new phones coming out, coming in particular colors, and that this may be the 5 colors of the new model of iPhone that comes in colors. So, Brian, you've taken a good look at this. What do you think?
So the first thing that I have to confess, Kelly,
mm-hmm.
is that I didn't notice that it was only 5 colors. I thought it was 6, just I assumed. I am so embarrassed. It's missing orange.
Yeah, there's no orange.
There's no orange. And it is a 5. Orange-less. It's a 5-color... It's a 5-color logo. And anyway, I didn't notice that, but you did point it out. And at least no one knows what an incompoop I am because I've kept that to myself and did not.
Yeah, no one will ever pick up on that.
No one will ever find out.
Yeah. I didn't use my outside for that. So it's interesting. I'm actually less interested in it being 5 colors. And I love your interpretation. Who said it? It seems like Andrew. It was many minutes ago. Now, who said about the colors of the iPhone?
That was Andrew.
Andrew.
Yeah.
That was Andrew. Okay. Well, yeah. All hell, Andrew. I like that idea.
Me too.
I am quite cynical about these things because I am, because I feel like the build up to these events is so overblown now and the rumors are so numerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool because we're interested in the new products and that's fine. But like, it's funny to me to like just be, you know, picking out the idea, drawing out things from the colors and the name and so on. But, I'm going to do that a little bit because I think it's notable that it says by innovation only.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Apple, I think, has been stung by the criticism that under Tim Cook, it hasn't innovated particularly. There are no, air quote, new products and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's trying to say here, it's setting the bar kind of high and saying, look, we are the innovative company you know about. So that's kind of interesting, I think.
Charlotte, while you were speaking, I mixed you up a delicious glass of Kool-Aid. And I thought maybe you would enjoy it and become one of us.
Oh, thank you.
Google gobble, yeah. Google gobble.
Thanks. Thanks.
You're very, very welcome.
Listen, you're just that kind of boss that, you know, you're always looking out for me, Brian.
Exactly. This is oh so true. And you know, this is part and parcel. I mean, it is part ritual to what you're saying, Charlotte. It is part ritual now to pour over the invitations and to try to you know, read the tea leaves, as it were. This may be the most, this may end up proving to be the most direct and blatant invitation that we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
The BBC's Rory Ketland-Jones, who's their tech editor and is a fantastic journalist, tweeted a picture of the invitation and said, "I remember when this was hugely exciting, notably January 2007. Nowadays, it's a bit ho-hum." Maybe it's just us Brits that are cynical.
Well,
maybe we need to...
No.
It's fun to be excited about stuff. Like,
absolutely.
Let's not kill Santa Claus.
No, I totally agree. And, like, I'm genuinely excited to see what the new phones are, mainly because I want to buy one. But, yeah, I do find the ritual slightly funny. But, yes, I think you're right. This may be the most revealing, apart from the It's Showtime event, which made it pretty obvious what was going to happen.
Yeah.
This seems pretty clear as well. I would put some money on the fact that we're going to have five different colors of iPhone. They're going to try and, you know, by innovation, they're going to try and make this, say how innovative and new these devices are. So we'll see. September 10th at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
is the time we've got.
And I think two things on this. This is the most direct sort of name for an event that we've had in a while, because like we did get Showtime about TV Plus, but the other things have been like Gather Round and Let's Meet at Our Place and Hello Again and what was the other one, See You on the 7th, I think, was the iPhone 7 one. So they've always been these sort of indirect little phrases on the invitation itself. We have a lot to cover, you know, things like that. So this one, you know, by innovation only, I agree with you. And I think that this does lend credence to John's assessment somewhere. John is struggling to himself because he's hearing me say that he's right, because he said Apple is going to kind of throw a lot of stuff at us at this event. When we talked about it earlier this week, one of the things that we discussed was people are holding onto their devices longer, so Apple has to find really compelling reasons for people to upgrade or to buy another thing. You know, let me get some AirPods to go with that phone, like since I'm not getting a new phone, things like that, services. You know, and Charlotte, that's part of why we thought the mid-priced iPhone was a good idea. So Apple was getting money from people in other ways. And right. So I think putting innovation right in the title sort of lends some credence to that, that we're going to see more than just phones and more than a little more detailed look at the new version of iOS that's coming. I think we're going to get more than that.
Although, of course, to normals, all they want to know is what the new phone has and how much it costs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about any of this.
Right.
There's a little bit. Yeah, this is an echo chamber discussion. But there is also, by the way, a little bit of danger for Apple. Apple needs to deliver on something innovative.
Yes. I totally agree.
If they don't, they will be, you know, roasted, possibly only within the echo chamber, but they will be roasted by the media going, yeah, you know, get a lot of balls saying by innovation only and introducing just this. So we will see if Apple can actually step up to its own plate.
Well, to be fair, somebody's going to say that anyway, even if Apple comes out with personal jetpacks for everyone or flying cars or whatever, there's still going to be somebody that goes, that's not innovation. You know, yeah.
I don't know if my mic picked up my vigorous nodding when Brian was speaking, but
yes.
Yeah, it was happening.
Yes. I'm not sure my microphone picked mine up either, but yes, that was it. I'm excited to see what it is. I sort of hope that Andrew's right about the phones coming in colors, because I think that's cool. And I hope they do it with metal, the way the iPods are, that they're metal sort of outsides with the color. I think that would be cool. And I hope John is right that we're going to get it more than just iPhones and a look at the software that's going to run on the new iPhones. I think that's going to be pretty interesting. And I hope that we get all of that soon. So we will definitely talk more about it at the time. You can always keep an eye on MacObserver.com for coverage of the event or anything interesting we find out ahead of time. And in the meantime, I'd like to thank my guests for being here today. Charlotte, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Brian, thanks for being here.
Yep, thanks for having us. Good times.
I will talk to all of you tomorrow. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.